So I want to turn it over to Jay Threadgill. Jay is, he's been an apostle to Haiti for decades. And so I pretty much say the same thing every time I introduce him, but it's always true. That he is going to come with good information, but he also carries things, and you should be in your spirit tugging on God, saying, I don't want just Jay's words. I want an impartation of what he carries in that apostolic grace that he walks in. And as well, I bring you back to what I said just a couple minutes ago. I really feel like there's an encouragement from the Father. And so I think, Jay certainly is a father in the faith. And so we want that. So you be tugging on God. And at the end of that, we are going to take up an offering to bless him. And Haiti has been really hard hit, and that means Jay has been really hard hit. And so just be prayerful and be thinking about that. So, Jay, all yours.
Come on, brother. I love you. Whoop. Got to watch those steps. They'll reach out and grab you. Good morning. Boy, it's a good-looking house here today. You're a good-looking bunch of people, you know that? It's really great to be back here at Church on the Rock, Melbourne. We had a date way back. Matter of fact, 34 years ago, Pastor Gary Stebbins had a home fellowship that was an outreach of the church or a function of the church. And he looked at me and said, can you and your wife come and share what you're going to do? And because we're getting ready to pack up and go to Haiti. 34 years ago, we sat in his living room and shared our heart for Haiti. And of course, Pastor Gary and Bonnie, along with Church on the Rock, Melbourne, have been partners and friends ever since. So that's a long tenure, praise God. Hallelujah. It's really a joy for me to be here. I wish Linda could have made it. Keep Linda in your prayers. She suffers neuropathy and has damaged nerves, and some days are not so good, and some days are even worse than that. And last night she couldn't sleep, and she was in great pain. We have opted not to touch narcotics for pain relief. And we are trusting and believing God mostly, even though we travel some doctors and try to pick up on their wisdom as well. And it's been a real battle. It's been a real hard one for her. And she was set to be here today and wanted to be here today, but she didn't sleep much last night. And so consequently, I didn't sleep much last night. But I think us guys can get over that one easier. And, you know, and I'm not the one in pain. So keep her in your prayers. We're believing God for a miracle. All right, we're believing. Now, if there's something in the natural medicine that can affect something, we're all for it. But we're believing God for a miracle. But we're not doing oxys and we're not doing morphine, and we've been offered it all, trust me. And we've looked at the doctors and just shook our heads and said, no, that's not for us. And, we're just standing. And so stand with us, please. And so we will do that. And she sends her love as well to all of y'all. Praise God. And at the same time, I want you to keep Haiti in your prayers, as Pastor Tony mentioned. It's been in total lockdown since March 19th. It's still in total lockdown. I mean, no international travel, borders, airports, ports are closed. Everybody's trying to hunker down. It seems like they may lighten up on that soon, but it's not even spiked in its virus. Thousands and thousands have it, and thousands have died. When you have slum areas, you can't social distance too much. And we just lost my worship leader's father just this last week. So, it's real, and it's there, and they don't even have enough test kits to test. Their number one doctor, who is a very fine doctor and writes a number of journals and papers, and I'm on his mail list, and he just basically said, we don't have enough test kits to test, so if you got this, this, and this, and this, you got it, and it's a bunches. And so we're believing God, their medical ability, hospital-wise, all that is, it's not a good picture. So, it's been totally locked down. There's a kind of a story behind that, why I'm here locked out and they're there locked in. The week that President Trump had decided he was going to shut things down, which was the week before March 19th, he made the declaration getting ready to shut it down. Well, Linda and I happened to be in the States. She had some doctor's appointments, and we had her brother, Michael. I don't know how many of y'all know Michael, but Michael's cool. He's handicapped and mentally challenged. He's special needs, but he lives with us in Haiti, and he loves Haiti because he's got a tutor. He's got caretakers that we've trained that love him, and he just loves Haiti, but he's down in Haiti. He's under great watchful eye. We're here, and President Trump's saying, we're getting ready to lock down. I looked at Linda. I said, but I better jump back down there and get Michael. And, of course, that was like on a Monday. So the flight on Tuesday was $1,200. So I said, no, we ain't doing that. I took the flight on Thursday, which was more reasonable, and flew in. The day I flew in, they shut everything down. So now me and Michael are in a country with no medical relief if we need it. I mean, I'm not sure I'd take my dogs to the doctors. That's how difficult it is there, all right? It's like it makes a MASH unit in the middle of war look like a great hospital. It's tough. I mean, down there they've got Doctors Without Borders. That's the best thing you got on the island, and working out of tents and field hospitals. And so I cranked right up on that because I was scheduled to fly in Thursday, fly us out Friday. Well, Thursday night, I'm landed, we're there, and it comes across the news. President of Haiti's locking it all down right then and there. Bang. And so I'm on Friday, I'm on the phone with the State Department. I never was on the phone with the State Department before, but you got to go through a lot of menu to get somebody. But I'm on this phone with the State Department, the embassy. I'm saying, wait a minute, I just flew in here. I've got a handicapped brother-in-law here, and I got to get him out. And I don't think I was the only one probably on emails and phones. We were trying to get missionary flight services in. They couldn't get clearances. I mean, Missionary Flight International was willing to come get us, but they couldn't get a clearance. Agape Flights was willing to come in and get us. They couldn't get a clearance. And then it came across, or I got a communique from the State Department. They said the State Department has interceded, and there'll be an empty American Airlines flight coming in only to take out American citizens on Monday. And so there we were, praise God. We made it out. But then we've been locked out ever since. And so that's my Haitian family's there. My American family's here, and we're like torn, you know, and praying. They're praying for us. We're praying for them. And, you know, there's no First Amendment for the church there. And so the churches are totally locked down. And, you know, I kind of was asking Tony if there's something I missed in that First Amendment, that churches are always separated from state unless there's a pandemic. Is that in there in the fine print? I couldn't quite figure. I'm not going to get political. Don't worry. I'm just trying to make a little humor here, all right? As a matter of fact, my platform is not political. My platform is for Jesus Christ. Amen. And I vote, you know, and I do my thing, but you won't see me on Facebook talking politics. Actually, I put two differing opinions on my page on social media, and then I had to repent because God's told me a long time ago, this is not your platform. That's not for what you're there to do. You're there to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I didn't, and then this morning I remembered that, and he rebuked me, and then I didn't even have time to take him down. But it'll all work out in the wash. Luckily, I didn't catch a whole lot of grief out of it, so I'm happy for that, praise God. From humans, God gave me enough correction to realize I got to change that. And maybe that's why the humans didn't have to give me the grief, praise God. So Haiti, but, you know, so we're in the lockdown, and we got out, and the numbers are growing, and they don't think it's going to peak out in its peak, whatever they call that curve, till like late July, so we're not sure how this is going to all work out. But the battle in Haiti started 6 months earlier. When I talk about years, I always think in academic years because we're educators and we got schools. And so in late August of last year, school just opened up, and then the riots started in Haiti, but these riots were all controlled by huge, well-armed gangs. When you talk about a gang in Haiti, for you older folks, it's not West Side Story gang. It's like 1,500, 2,000 people armed with AKs, ARs, and that kind of stuff. And they're trying to take over the city and basically the nation. So we were in distance learning through our schools, especially our main campus school, which can do that way earlier than the United States ever even had to think about it. And we have fine-tuned it. It is one of the most complete, most perfect distant learning process that I've ever seen, even as I've studied what's here in the States. And so, I mean, they do 4 to 5 hours of Zoom class every day by the teacher, and then send home the assignments for them to complete and send back, you know. And so it was very effective. And so that started up, and it started to calm down about December. And it looked like, okay, we're going to be able to get back going in January, like normal life. And then came March. So, you know, it all shut down again. And so it's been a trying year for the nation of Haiti. And they have their years every year, it seems like. But it's been a real trying year for them. We did do one thing, though. With our distance learning, we were able to graduate the 25th graduating class of Morningstar Christian Academy. And it was not a large class because a lot of people had already bolted during the violence, but it was a good class, and so that's a good thing. And you know, our Morningstar Christian Academy main campus has a dual accreditation here in the United States. And so our graduates can go to any, if they can pass the entrance exam or whatever it is and the SATs and all that, they can go into any college of the United States according to their grades and levels, you know. And so we're real proud of that. Yeah, hallelujah. You know, and so, you know, the ministry continues. No matter what's happening, God's going to keep going forward. You do understand that, don't you? Even in the midst of hardship and difficulty, kingdom's going to advance. Even in the midst of personal tragedy, the kingdom is going to advance. Even in the midst of darkness trying to force it down, the kingdom is going to advance. And nothing's going to stop the plan of God. There is nothing. What's happening in our culture, and it needs to be addressed and fixed the best we can, but it ain't going to get fixed without God in the middle of it. None of this is going to get fixed because we're trying real hard. It's going to get fixed when God gets in the middle of it all. Amen. And so, but God has a plan. I mean, none of this is shocking God. The pandemic didn't shock God. The violence in the street didn't shock God. The violence in Haiti didn't shock God. I mean, God is the Alpha and Omega. He'd been there, seen it, done that, and already came back around again. You know, I mean, it was no shock to God, and God still has a plan. Hallelujah. You know, and there's so much I could have come and talked to you about today. You ought to, you know, when during this week you start mulling over in your spirit what you think, which way God's going to lead you. Then I told Pastor Tony on Friday morning, I was told, you're doing live feed on Haiti Sunday morning too. And I'm thinking, man, so I took Friday and Saturday off just for prayer and study time, you know, and because it's two different messages. And at the same time, you know, you want to be prayed up for each and be ready. I don't want to just come up here and talk. I mean, if I don't feel like God wants me to talk or is talking through me, I'm going to sit back down, hand the microphone back over to these guys. And so anyhow, I spent the last couple of days in some serious time with the Lord and really got a direction on what he wanted to do. But there was so much you could talk about, even as Pastor Tony alluded to, that he's taking his time processing through some things that are very important to our society, very important to the United States, very important for relationships and such, and that's wise. But you know, we could have talked about the pandemics and the warnings in Matthew 24 of wars and earthquakes and pestilence, but that's not for today. We could talk about the spirit of the Antichrist that's covering the globe with globalism, but that's not for today either. We could have talked about the violence in our streets and anarchy and such, and the fact that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness. But that's not for today. There's so many things we could have talked about. We could talk about being in the last days and the soon return of Jesus Christ. But that's not for today. Praise God. I mean, there's so much we could have talked about. That's the whole issue. There's just so much going on. And as I began to seek the Lord and really get a handle on what he wanted me to talk about, he said, talk about me. Talk about my plan. I see my sister there. That's Leslie Threadgill right there. And then I forgot to, I have my daughter in love and her mother back there. That's Miranda Threadgill and Miss Victoria. Moms, put up your hand, we'll do a wave. Praise God. All right. But God said, talk about me. Talk about what I want to do. I first want you to know that we've entered into the greatest season of God ever. It's not coming. We've entered it. Now, you may not see it. That's going to be kind of, by you hear the message, your fault. But we have entered into the greatest awakening that the earth will have ever experienced in the history of mankind. It is now. It is not someday. It's not coming. It is now. Now, we're going to talk about, because you got to be able to see it with God's eyes. See, God doesn't look at all this going on with human eyes. God sees it all with God's eyes. And you got to learn, and it's a process. Believe me, I haven't arrived, but I'm getting closer. How to look at things more from the perspective of God than more from the perspective of man. You have to stay close to him. You have to spend a lot of time in the Spirit. You have to spend some time in prayer, some daily time in the Spirit. Otherwise, you just start regurgitating CNN and Fox News. And I'm a news junkie, so I'm not preaching down on you. Because if you're not looking at things through God's eyes, what you're looking at it through is human eyes. Oh, my God, if so-and-so doesn't get elected, we're going to go down the tubes. No, we're not. If this doesn't change, we're going to have open war in our streets. No, we're not. Well, we might, but that's okay. You've got to be able to begin to see things how God sees them. That's what God said to me when he said, I want you to talk about me. He said, please. He wants me to, that we're entering in the final awakening, which will be time. I mean, it's not like, well, maybe he'll come tomorrow, but I really think there's going to be a great awakening, a great harvest of souls that is so gigantic that it's going to shock the world. And now darkness is going to rise up against it. Don't get me wrong. Darkness is going to hate every minute of it. The awakening began the day we couldn't step back into this church. That began the awakening, because all of a sudden now we realize we can't even go to church. And a government told us we can't, and we bought into it. Oh, my gosh. What can I say? But we began to awaken. Look at your church. Look how healthy it looks. This is beautiful. Yes or no? Your church looks healthy. And I haven't been here in several years, so I don't know, but you're looking good. And the worship was awesome. And the presence of the Lord was dynamic. I had to just sit down and close my eyes for a minute and talk in my spirit to him. You know? And so the awakening has begun, but it's going to go really deep and really full in the years, in the time to come. I can't even put a timeline on it. But the awakening is, and so God said, I want you to tell them about my awakening. You see, right now, God said, there is an angelic army right here, right now. And the power of the Holy Spirit to stir the hearts of humanity into this fulfillment and final move of God before the Christ's return. They're here right now. He began to speak to me about how Florida is key. Florida is key to this awakening. Prayer is key. And I know the mantle of prayer that's on these men. I know this guy. Makes me feel bad when he starts praying. I feel backslidden. You know why I feel backslidden? Because he's so deep when he prays. Yeah. You're a part of it. You're a part of it, but you got to spend enough time in prayer and enough time in worship and enough time to begin to see what God sees. A dynamic worship. And Florida, Central Florida, is a key to this awakening. And we all said, and it's begun. And then what roles do we play? The title of my message today is A Generation of Champions. That's you. Mm-hmm. A generation of champions. God has raised up and set and placed a generation of champions for this awakening. Isn't it cool that he's already got it figured out? We are that generation. But to understand how we function in that generation, we got to understand what God's doing. Now, I'm going to take a text from a scripture that maybe won't excite you too much, but it comes from the book of Haggai, chapter 2, 7 and 9. When it talks about, I'm going to shake all nations. Right. Now, the shaking of nations is happening right now. The violence is a counterfeit from the devil. God's not shaking nations with violence. That's the counterfeit of the devil. But God is shaking and the devil's counterfeiting. The devil knows what's coming down the pike too, and so he's putting up so much smoke screen that he can to stop what God wants to do. He says, I'm going to shake all nations. Why? So that they will come to the desire of all nations. The desire of all nations is Jesus Christ. And so when you're in the battle, what do? You get closer to God. Out of pure necessity, you got to get closer to God because you're in the battle and you know in your strength, you can't get this done. Well, I pray that everyone knows that. I've learned a long time ago, if I get involved, we're going to really mess this up. And so he's shaking because he's wanting to bring us closer to him, because the closer we are to him, the better we can see. The closer we are to him, the greater dimension of the glory of the Lord in our lives. The closer we are to him, the more anointing of the Holy Spirit is present. And if we're not where we need to be, he'll just take you by the back of your collar and just shake you a little bit. I know. Bible says God chastens the ones he loves, and boy, my bottom is wore out. He really loves me. I can tell that. But he'll shake to pull you close. He said, I'm going to shake nations. Why? So that they'll come to the desire of all nations, and then I'm going to fill this temple with glory. You see, you got to get close to God for the glory of God. I've tasted it, but I'm not satisfied with the taste. I'm sure most of you have tasted the glory, but you cannot just sit back and go, boy, that was a great little move of God. Because he wants us to build on it. He wants us to go to the next level, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. And we're important. You're important. You're a champion. You're a generation of, we are a generation of champions. We are important to this awakening and to the move of God. Verse 8, he just takes a little sidebar. It's kind of I call it a rabbit trail. Oh, by the way, the silver and gold are mine. You know, here, I'm going to say something, and this is for the other guys so you can minister it to them, okay? You know I'm setting you up, right? I'm scrolling down a little bit because I got to find that note. You realize God is the source of all resource. Far too long, I had to scroll down to get to this. I'm going to get you now. Far too long, the church has sought the Lord for his blessing. But in this great awakening, the church will seek God not for what he gives, but for what he desires. Y'all with me? You know, Matthew 6:33 is pretty plain. Seek first. Seek first the electric bill. Seek first your mortgage payment. Seek first the car payment. Seek first, I need a new car. No. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So seek first. Far too long, Christians have prayed over their needs greater than they prayed over what God's needs were. God needs us. He needs, and you know, we're going to get to this later, and if we don't respond, he'd just go find somebody else. But he needs man to join with him to bring forth his perfect plan. Now, he's got this all ironed out. I get it. But I don't want to get up there and him go, glad you made it. I want to get up there and him say, thank you. You well done, good, faithful servant. And I've fallen short a few times. I'm not on the perfect road, but I thank God for the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. And his patience. He's got a lot of patience for me. He says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. If you're needing a little bit, maybe you ought to come see me a little bit. Spend some time with me. Then he says in verse 9, the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the glory of the former. And he says, in this place, Where? In the temple. Well, we are the temple. In this place. What place? In his presence. In the glory. In this place, I'll give you peace. Nowhere else. He doesn't say, well, you can go next door and get Brother John to pray for you, and you'll get some peace. No, he says, in this place, in the glory, in the temple. We are the temple. Not talking about a building. In that place, you'll find peace. But the promise is that the glory of the last temple will be greater than the glory of the former temple. And in this awakening, God is going to release a dimension of glory like we've never seen before. God is going to release a dimension of power and miracles like we've never seen before. Average, just good old loving Christian people are going to put hands on people and they're going to get totally delivered. Because their heart is for God. Because their heart is for his presence. Because their heart isn't for other things. Hey, I've been sidetracked in my lifetime too, and I'm into ministry. I've taken a right and I've taken a left. God will pat me on the butt and get me back. Sorry for my words. On the behind. I come from the generation where daddy took the belt, remember? Yeah. Well, anyhow, let's keep going. You see, when God shakes, pulls us closer, we begin to see as he sees. When God pulls us closer, it's there his presence and anointing becomes stronger in our lives. I've seen it, and I think I maybe have drifted from it, but I'm hungry for it again, where I've walked into a room and the presence of God changed the ambience of the whole room. And most of the people were secular. But I watched it and realized it. And then all of a sudden they said, well, hey, how you doing, Pastor? And cleaned up their mouth and cleaned up the way they talked and, you know, and looked real holy in front of me. I didn't do anything. I just walked in the room. And they felt something. My greatest outreach is the International Airport of Haiti. We've got a whole church there. It's called the Blue Shirt Church. The blue shirts are guys that are in the customs or the douane, customs guys. They all pack in a piece. I got a guy, when I fly into Haiti, he's at the very end of the flight bridge with his piece, waiting for me, taking my luggage and escorting me through immigrations. He's part of the blue shirt church. I got him born again. When I go through, they ask me to pray for him. I was there one day. Actually, I was there picking up another pastor. And, you know, at the luggage carousel, and there's 150 more people around. And that's the other thing. When you got a blue shirt church, I go into the secure areas, carte blanche. Hey, Pastor Jay, you want to go in today? Go ahead. Okay, bye. It is awesome. It's called favor. Well, this general of the police, I mean, he's got gold bars and everything all over the hat and the eagles, and walks up to me. He says, are you the pastor that prays for people? I said, that's me. He said, oh, I don't have a blue shirt. They wear khaki, the police department. I said, no, there's some blue up here by your stars. There's a little blue over there and some blue on your hat. That counts. I did. That's what I actually told him. I said, no, you got blue. You khaki mostly, but you got blue. He said, will you pray for me? I said, I'd love to. I said, do you want me to pray for you like now or just pray for you continually in my prayers? He says, I want you to pray for me now and then pray for me continually in your prayers. I said, okay, let's pray. And so I'm thinking we're going to grab hands and pray, right? He takes off his hat and kneels on the ground in front of 200 people picking up luggage. I lay my hands on him and just pray to whatever came to me kind of prayer, you know, and encourage, because they live a threatened life, these kind of guys. And evidently, he was looking for some peace. And he got back up and hugged me. I said, please give me your name. I wrote the name down. I said, I'll keep you in my prayers. But see, when you got a fishing hole where you fish a lot, the fish begin to recognize you. Are you fishing anywhere? Publix is a good one. Walmart's even better. You got to find a place to fish where you're comfortable. The old days of evangelism, of sitting on a street corner, passing tracks and screaming at people, are way gone. I mean, if you want to do that, that's okay, and God will honor it, but you know what I'm saying. But you go up there with a heart of love and a heart of mercy and just say, do you mind if I pray for you? Very few people will turn their back on you. And all people said, I still got a lot of time. You guys are lucky. When we draw closer to God, the Lord and his desires become our desires. See, so many Christians, when we're praying from a younger standpoint, a baby Christian or younger Christian, we go to God for what we need. God already knows what we need. When you go to God, you go to God for God. And then he figures out what you need and makes sure you get it. Trust me, I've been in every financial crisis possible to human race. And I'm still here. I've seen it all. Been down to nothing. I was actually, in the last few months, I was wondering if we was going to make it. But I kind of, in my spirit, knew we were going to make it. But I don't know how we're going to make it. But we made it. And I'm still not sure how we made it. But we made it, you know. But you gotta guess what happens? You get close to God. Don't you? When you're a little behind in your mortgage payment, isn't that when we start praying a little bit more? Well, see, God wants us to pray just a little bit more before we get there. God is shaking, but the devil is perverting, and the shaking with violence is yet still the to draw us close. Even with the violence, it's not so much God doing the violence, but he'll use it to draw us close. Very important. Glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the first house. Now, if you study the Bible, there's a lot of glory in that first house. Even in the book of Acts house. And then you got the Old Testament house. I always wanted to be Elijah. God won't let me. Because I would really enjoy walking into a president and say, you either get right or you're going to die. That'll get me real far, won't it? That's basically what he said. Said to the king, you're going to die. Sent his captains of 50s to go get him. Captain of 50 said, come down here, man of God. And he turned around and said, if I be a man of God, I call fire down from heaven. That's the part I really like about it. That's why I want to be Elijah. God said, I can't let you do that. You'd be pulling fire down. Don't you guys ever think like this, or am I the only one? You know? I mean, that would be really cool, wouldn't it? But I don't think you can trust me in that. So what role do we play? This is my next verse. God gave me a familiar verse to all of us, I'm sure. 1 Peter 2:9. And he says, but. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. But you that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Chosen. Say chosen. You have been chosen by God. You see, sometimes so many people, they want to think that they chose Jesus. That's not true. Jesus chose us. It says in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain. Then whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. You see, the whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. Isn't a carte blanche blank check. Has to do with doing the works of Jesus. So if you're out bearing fruit, then you can ask whatever you need and God's going to do it for you. But it's just not a, let me just take that last section and move it over here so that whatever I want, I can ask in Jesus' name and I'm going to get it. Have you ever done Jesus' name till you're blue in the face and you didn't get it? I have. Then it finally dawned on me, that's not what it's about. It's about fruit. Thank God I have generations of fruit. Do you know right now, the principal of Morningstar Christian Academy has a master's, a bachelor's in education, and a master's in administrative for school, whatever it's called. And she was in our children's church. That's fruit. My worship leader, worship pastor, who has about 7 teams now, he wants to get A through Z. I said, go for it. That's a lot of teams. You know, but he started playing guitar for me when he was 16 years old. And now he's probably 40 and change. That's fruit. My number one senior Haitian pastor, I led to the Lord in the streets when I first went to Haiti. Now he has a doctorate in theology. He is a licensed, educated legal attorney, and he is a pastor of one of the largest churches of a nation. That's fruit. That is God. And now they're bearing fruit. So now I don't have spiritual sons and daughters. I got grandkids that are rising up. See, the whole purpose of us, Jesus choosing us, was to bear fruit. And you can do it in so many different ways. You don't have to just evangelize for fruit. You can pray fruit. Your intercession produces fruit. Your worship will produce fruit. These are all aspects of an awakening. You got to have it all. You got to have the prayer warriors. You got to have the worship warriors. You got to have the evangelist warriors. You got to have guys that are willing to spend. You know, that's another thing I tell everybody. You just can't go get somebody saved and then leave them. Whoopie-doo, he got his name on the book, and now he's going to live a life of hell till he gets to heaven. You know, if they hadn't wrapped their arms around me, I'd have backslid for sure. They put a schedule together for me of social intimacy with the church people. There was no way I could backslide, and I even tried. When you lead someone to the Lord, say, okay, now I want you at my house on Sunday after. We'll go to church, then you know you're going to have lunch at my house. Go watch a football. Well, we can't yet, but when football starts, go watch a football game with them. Amen. Bring them over for a basketball game. You just can't lead someone to the Lord and leave them there. I mean, I guess by God's grace, he's in, but you never know where he's going from there. And we all said, I'm dragging. I better get going. All right. You're chosen. Say chosen. Royal priesthood, very important. Royal priesthood. The charge of the priest, the priestly mantle, is to go into the presence of the Lord on behalf of others. You have a whole city here needs you in the presence of God. City of Palm Bay, city of Melbourne, they need the churches in his presence on their behalf. Are y'all following me? And if you can't come to corporate prayer, pray for your city in your own individual prayer. Are y'all with me? Come on, every now and then shake your head so I know you're doing something right. Hallelujah. And so we're to intercede. You know, this just came to me through my morning devotions about 3 days ago, and I said, I'm using that somewhere, and I got it now. It came from Ezekiel 22:30, where the Lord, it's a sad scripture, really, where the Lord said, I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I couldn't find one. Don't let that be for our town. No, it's not going to be, because I'm telling you right now, Central Florida is key to this awakening. Central Florida, Melbourne is key to Brevard County. Melbourne and Palm Bay are key to an awakening happening right here. And God is raising up prayer warriors, anointed to pray, to stand the gap. In other words, God, don't judge our city with judgment, but with mercy. And all God needed was to find one. All he needed was to find one. He would have changed the total decision of an annihilation of Jerusalem. But nope, there wasn't one. And they got annihilated till a bunch of them got raised up after the annihilation and started praying again. Y'all with me? Yeah. Royal priesthood, that's our function. You know, in Matthew 21:13, it says, my house has to be called a house of prayer. Well, this is not the house of God. This is. You know, and I pray. But you know what's really weird with me? I don't know if you've ever felt this. I pray. I feel like I got to pray some more. And I pray. And then when you know, and I'm thinking, man, I really need to spend more time with him. Like I didn't finish. Am I the only guy that talks like this? And so... And then sometimes I feel guilty. I go, whoa, no, I ain't feeling guilty, but I need to pray more. God, give me the time. Give me the wisdom. Break away from Fox News. I don't really need to see Hannity tonight. I can go see God instead. Tucker Carlson, he can do without me. They took away Greta, so what do you know? Anyhow, back, someone say, preach the word. Royalty denotes government. We're royal priesthood. So not only do we go into the presence of God on behalf of others, we go in also to govern for the for God. Because what God will do in your spirit is join with you. And as you make declarations, as you begin to make decrees of the word of God and it's released from your mouth, you begin to bring atmosphere into submission to God. Apostolic decrees, apostolic declarations are very important. That's what I call them because I'm apostolic. But you can call them apostolic prophetic. You can just call them declaration of God's word, because the Bible says when you declare the word of God, it does not return to him empty or void, but it accomplishes in the thing whereunto it was sent. And so you got to repeat it. You got to speak it out. But you don't just speak it out wondering if I'm doing anything. You speak it out with a faith. You speak it out with something down in you that says, I'm declaring it, I'm decreeing it, and it's going to come to pass. When then someone says, well, what if it doesn't come to pass? You keep going. I've been battling for my wife for several years now. Have I quit? Heck no, I'm not quit. I'm keep pressing. I'm going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep pressing until either it's done or he takes her home, but I ain't quitting. God knows that about me. There's no quit in me. I just don't have it. It's not in my DNA. I can't quit. I've wanted to about once a week. See, you have a royal anointing. You have a governmental anointing. In Luke 10, verse 19, Jesus says, I give you authority over scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. I give you authority. I use that verse a lot. I say, God, I thank you. You have given me the authority over scorpions and serpents and over all. Say all. All the power of the enemy. And so I decree and declare. That's my favorite line. You can steal it if you want. I decree and declare according to your scripture that the powers of darkness that have been set against us have to be brought to their knees now in the name of Jesus. If you don't pray that way, I'm sorry for you. You need to come hang out some. That's the way. Not all prayer is kumbaya prayer. That's good prayer too. Some prayer has to be strong. Somehow them demons, they're hard of hearing, I think. I'm pretty sure they are. And you got to like speak to them sometimes. But see, when you speak, it's not you doing it. It's the Christ in you that's being released from a dimension of faith, from a dimension of his seeing as he sees. And it moves darkness. He said in Mark 11, 23, I say unto you, whoever says unto this mountain, doesn't say think unto this mountain. Doesn't say ask God to move the mountain. Nowhere in there, it says, whoever speaks unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, and believes in the things in which he said is going to come to pass, the mountain will move. Well, sometimes you got to speak to the mountain. You go, you know, God, there's a really big mountain. Would you move it? God say, I told you to. I ain't moving it. That's what he'll say. I ain't moving it. I told you to move it. And then you got to speak to it. And someone says, well, how long? What if it doesn't move? You just keep speaking. Another guy said, you're just supposed to thank him for it from then after. I don't do that. I just keep speaking at it till it moves. You're going to move, mountain. Well, maybe God placed the mountain. No, God didn't place the mountain. Teach me a lesson. No, he's going to teach you through the word of God. What kind of God do you serve? I'm going to learn a lesson with the mountain. Yeah, you're going to learn a lesson. Anybody in there? No. All right, I tell my offering's going up by the minute. All right, let's go on. Number three, you're a holy nation. Holy, say holy.
Holy.
Now listen carefully. Holiness only comes by the presence of God. It's not following rules, law. We dealt with that for years in the body of Christ. The only way you can walk holy, the only way you can arrest the desires of your flesh is by the presence of God. And if you're lacking presence, you're going to lack holiness. And God will stir you. And God's, now, let me tell you something really good. You ready? Because I've been on the negative side there a little while. God is really patient. And he loves you, and he's very patient with you. So don't get a condemnation out of anything I'm saying. Maybe a little conviction, okay. But God loves you so much, He will patiently walk you through it till you'll catch that spirit of holiness because you love Him so much. And I want to just be like Him to the best of my ability. And again, I'm going to tell you right straight up, I've had to grow. I didn't start there. Even if I preached it, I wasn't there half the time. And God's doing a work, and I know He's doing a work, and I'm grateful for the work, and I'm grateful for His patience. And so God wants us to be holy. He said in 1 Peter, be holy as I am holy. He didn't say, try your best. He didn't say it. Do the best you can. We understand you're in the flesh. No. He said, be holy as I am holy. But the only way to be holy as He is holy is spending time in His presence, in His glory. Put some worship on. I got one of those little Bose travel speakers, you know. Man, if I get in the or I got my ear pods now, everything's modern, you know. And I just put on some worship. And I just, me and God go somewhere together. And then all of a sudden you realize, man, I've been in the presence of God. Then sometimes, and I'm a hard guy, tears start rolling down my eyes because God's loving on me. And you realize He's here. He hadn't left. Even if I tried to leave Him, He hadn't left. He's following me around, waiting patiently for me to get my act together is what He's doing. Be holy. Say holy.
Holy.
And you're a special people of praise. Special people of praise. Good. We still got time. John 4:23 says the hour is coming and now is. When is it? Now. That we are to worship. True worshipers worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Worship is such a dynamic tool, especially for this season of an awakening, especially for a generation of champions. Because when you worship, the presence of the Lord comes. And when the presence of the Lord comes, darkness cannot stay. It has to leave because where light is, darkness cannot remain. And so He says He comes and inhabits the praises of His children. And you can do it with the ear pods in your favorite. I got a whole worship set. It's like 3 hours. If I go traveling on an airplane, I could be worshiping the whole time. And it's just worship. It's not even praise. Then I got praise and worship. And then I think I just started my praise set. But I got 3 hours of contemporary worship that puts me on my knees. And I listen to it, especially when I know I need it. It just gives you the presence of God. These are the ingredients and the tools that God has given us because God has got the awakening here. Now He's looking for volunteers out of the generation of champions. See, you were called for such a time. Oh, that's where I'm going next. Hallelujah. Story of Esther. You all know the story of Esther. What a great story. I'm going to bring out a part that probably you won't think is the great part, but it's some good part. You know Esther's beautiful. She's an orphan raised by her uncle. And there's a chance that she can take an interview and become part of the handmaidens of the king. And from that handmaidens, a queen would be selected. You know the story. And so Mordecai says to her, don't tell nobody you're Jew, no. You're beautiful. Just go ahead. And she gets in with the handmaidens and then eventually, of course, is chosen to be king. Or queen, excuse me. Y'all help me out if you hear something. My wife would correct me. Trust me. She's not here, so you can all can take proxy. And so then we got Haman, General Haman, that don't like the Jews, and so he makes a plot to destroy the Jewish people. You see, there's a devil out there that don't like humans either, Jew or Greek, you know, white or black. He doesn't like any of us. And he wants to destroy us whatever way he can.
That's right.
Are you with me on this? Ooh, I'm feeling a little Holy Ghost on this right now. And so Mordecai hears of the plot, and he's in the city gates, sackcloth and ashes, and crying out like crazy, wailing and travailing and praying. And Esther hears from the palace. He's down there, so she sends some servants to get word. Mordecai says, when Mordecai learned what had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. Esther hears, so she sends for a response. Mordecai says, you got to go see the king for us. Esther says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but just one law, put to death. Except the one to whom the king holds the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's word. And I like how Mordecai responds. Don't think. That's Creole. Listen carefully. Don't think in your heart that you will escape Naaman's plot.
That's right.
Don't think in your heart, just because we can kumbaya some Christianity, we're going to escape some of the difficulties of this season we're living in. Are y'all following me? Now let's go. Hang on. It's going to get better somewhere. I always sew everybody back up before I leave. For if you remain completely silent, now I'm talking about prayer now. For if you remain completely silent, because that's the key ingredient to this awakening is prayer. It is the key ingredient, and it's here. It's not coming, it's here. All we have to do is enter in and apprehend it. And there'll be churches that are going, what are they talking about? And then there'll be churches right on the cutting edge. And I pray for the churches that are on the cutting edge. All the other ones that were wondering what they're talking about go, oh, that's what they're talking about. Let's follow them. That's what's going to happen in a great dynamic way. How about this? Palm Bay and Melbourne, all the bars shut down. All the brothels shut down. All the scurvy, what do you call them, crack houses shut down. What would happen? It's happened to other cities before. Why not Palm Bay and Melbourne? Why not? Oh, it can't happen. We need to pray. He says, now, let's get back to camp. I'm trying to finish now. You know I'm allowed to say that three times without be lying. It's in the book of Pastor. You got to read it. If you can find a book of Pastor. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than any of the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. See, we can't just be quiet Christians. I'm not talking about carrying sign Christians. I'm talking about praying Christians. Worshiping Christians. And you know what? You've got a good mantle on this house. It's already here. It's in place at Church on the Rock, Melbourne. It's here. All I got to do is apprehend it and enter into it. Enter into it and apprehend it. Go that direction. Then he says this. And this is what, and you know it. You know this line like everybody else in the whole world knows this line, but it illuminated my heart. And he said, yet who knows whether if you have come for such a time as this. My brothers and sisters, I'm feeling Holy Ghost. You are here for this awakening. You are here for this demonstration of God's glory. You have been chosen. You're a chosen generation to be now. And in this, there'll be racial healing. And in this, there'll be social healing. And in this, there'll be evangelism and great harvests. And in this, there'll be power and miracles and signs and wonders in this for those who will reach out and grab it. Now, listen to this. Esther said, all right. Ask me, all right, God. I'll do it. I don't want it, but I'll do it. She says, you go find those Jews and you fast and pray for me for 3 days. I'm finishing right now, number two. My maids and I will fast likewise. So when I go to the king, which is against the law, if I die, I die. You see, chosen generation, champion generation people, they don't live for themselves. They're dead to themselves. I'm already dead. I'm already dead to myself. God's desire and God's will is so much more important to me than anything else. And it's grown tremendously just even in the last year or two. as I process through some situations in my own life. There's nothing left. There's only one thing to do, and that's to live for Him. It ain't about how much money I can get or what level of society I can reach or can I get a fresh new boat next month or, you know, it's just not there for me. Now, if you want a boat, it's okay. Don't get mad at me. Put extra in the offering. God will bless you. No. No. I repent. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. If I die, I die. Now then, here's the final. I'm finishing. Number three. At a quarter of, right on time. It says when Queen Esther went into the court, that she found the favor in the sight of the king, and the king held out a golden scepter to her and said, "What is it you want me to do for you? I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and sisters, there's a king that we have, that the scepter has been extended for 2,000 years. He's been extended to anyone that wants to walk into his presence. The room is open. You don't have to have an invite. You just got to go in by the blood of Jesus, by the name of his glory, and enter in. The scepter is extended, and he's saying to you, what is it you want me to do? Don't come off with me. This make my mortgage payment stuff. You tell him, I want to live for you. I want to live, breathe, and die for you. I want to be close to you. I want you to be close to me. I want to do whatever you want to do. I'm dead. Hallelujah. Do it, God. And you know what? He'll answer that prayer. That is a generation of champions. He loves us so much. He wants to use us so much. He wants to visit us so much. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Then everything else will be added unto you. Everything else. Whatever it is you want or need. I mean, he'll even give the guy the bass boat. He don't care. But if you're seeking first the kingdom. And so what God has for me to do for you right now before we end is God told me this morning, pray, said, I'm giving you an anointing for this generation of champions. To impart. That God will begin to create a fire in your heart if you receive this anointing, this impartation. And you know what, Tony, I think your prayer meetings are going to start to grow a little bit. I'm just believing it. Because the awakening is now. The healing for our nation needs to be now. The healing for society needs to be now. But there's only one way we're going to get it. And that's by God. Telling police guys you can't use chokeholds is not going to do it. I mean, that's a nice start. God bless them. But that's not going to do it. We got to react in love. We got to act. And I like what Pastor Tony said. Got to listen. But then when it's our time to speak, we speak softly about the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready for this? You ready for this impartation? Close your eyes. Lift a hand to Jesus. Father God, I have taken the word that you have given me today as you have sowed it deep in my heart. And I, in obedience to you, Lord, I release now an apostolic anointing for the champion generation, a generation of champions, a chosen people, Lord. I release a fresh anointing upon them, Lord. I pray that you would kindle a greater, new, fresh fire in every single heart that is here today, that you would lift them up to be powerful in your presence and in your glory. Lord, let us be the ladder house. Let us be the glorious ladder house for your glory. Let us be a great witness for you, God. Let us be used by you, vessels of honor, vessels of honor. I speak forth vessels of honor. I pray, Lord, that you give them the heart of prayer. Give them the heart of being in your presence. Give them the heart of worship, true worship, worshipers, God. I pray your hand of blessing upon them in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. And all God's kids said, amen. God bless you all.